Senior Vice President to talk about crop failure or bountiful harvest. And I thought of showing you two bountiful harvests that are promising in my three plants. But then I discovered that another plant is a crop failure. And I want you to know they were in the same spot in the house, got the same water, got the same sunlight, bought them at the same time, and with all my tender, loving care, gave them all what I could give. So I hope that Jim will give some light as to not so much my plant, although they were part of the same cohort, that Jim will enlighten us, but also get us excited, really, about what God is doing, because God is truly the planter. But just a little note about Jim, just so you see that there's a light side to him, a less serious side. He has recently bought a bike, so bike riding is a new, not quite a passion yet.
No.
Yeah, he is. He's getting there. So welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Lisa.
Pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning that you desire to meet with us and meet with us through Jim and show us your ways and encourage us and also give us insight about this important aspect of the work. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love the second verse of Let God Be God. It says, let God be God or we shall never finish the task to which he calls us every day. Lest erring, we in unbelief diminish the force, the power he wishes to display. And as we think about both failure and flourishing and chapter planting, the reality is that it starts and finishes with God. And I will focus this morning on the efforts of us in InterVarsity, but I don't want to do that to the loss of reflecting with the fact that everything we do in this office, out on campus, with the new staff who are coming on Monday, everything we do starts, continues, and finishes in God. And only in God can our work not diminish or be subject to the vagaries of our belief and our trust. Thank goodness that our faith didn't start with us. Thank goodness that it doesn't finish with us and our efforts. Over the years of being the Vice President of Collegiate Ministries, I started in 2003. It's hard to believe this is the end of my seventh year in this role. But over the years, the most energizing aspect of that responsibility has been to lead the staff team that together have relaunched chapter planting in InterVarsity. If you look back in our history, you see that for years, planting new work was a hallmark of who we are and who we were. And yet somehow, in the 80s and the 90s and the early part of the last decade, planting kind of disappeared in InterVarsity. And when we did it, we weren't that good at it. When we did our research, we discovered that only 15% of all the chapters we launched in the end of the 1990s decade were still going and thriving 4 years later. And one of the exciting things with chapter planting is that we see 80% or more of the chapters that we launch now thriving 4 years later. But over that time, these two verses from Romans chapter 10 have become very inspirational for me personally, because I think they capture at least part of what chapter planting is all about. Paul writes there, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I think there's a sense there, and perhaps the predominant sense there, is that Paul is talking about anyone who shares the gospel with anyone else. But I think there's a special meaning that this verse has had for me as I think about chapter planting. As we have gone about, some of you can see this map, sending for the last 5 years staff out to different corners of our country, to plant new chapters. And the green stars are where chapters have been planted and are in the process of being planted in previous cohorts. The orange stars are the ones that will begin this next fall, as the staff who are coming for training on June 30th at NISIT will get trained and then go out and plant new fellowships this fall. And it's just it's one of the neat things about it in terms of our work here at the NSC is that every one of our departments here have contributed to what we're doing in chapter planting. This has been a combined effort. It doesn't belong to Collegiate Ministries. It doesn't belong to Collegiate Ministries, Multi-Ethnic Ministries, and Strategic Ministries. It's every department in this building has contributed to what we're doing in chapter building. And one of the contributions that's still in process is a new video that 2100 is putting together for us to help us recruit college seniors to become planters in the future. And this is still in process, so you'll see some sketch slides. That doesn't mean that's not where it's going to end up. They're going to fill that in as they do more shooting. But I thought you'd like to see what we're doing to try to help students who are graduating think about becoming chapter planters. I think part of what that video captures is that while planting is exciting and you're meeting new people and you're going out and trying new things, it's also very, very challenging. Very, very challenging. And there are bike accidents or crop failures that are real and that we get involved with in every cohort that begins. And I don't want to just share with you this morning the exciting part of chapter planting. I want to share a bit with you about the sobering part of chapter planting and what are the challenges that chapter planters face. And I'm going to go over four challenges that we've seen emerge in the first four or five cohorts. The first is loneliness and depression in the planter. Loneliness and depression in the planter. Some regions, as you look at this map, you'll see some regions have lots of planters in them. In some regions, the planter is the only one for hundreds of miles. Chris Goree, who is planting down in Oklahoma with his wife, he's the only staff worker, the only InterVarsity staff worker in the state of Oklahoma. Rachel, who's been planting at Creighton up here in Nebraska, when she went there, there'll be a new planter in the next cohort. When she went there, she was the first staff worker in Nebraska in more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it can get lonely. Even in a state where there's lots of staff, if you're the only person in Wisconsin who's planting, and all these other chapters are big and people are having a great old time, and they're talking about going with 30, 40, 50 students to fall conference or chapter camp, and you're the planter who's saying, boy, I hope I can get three. Three would feel like an act of God. It can be lonely and depressing. Planters are often in the first 3, 4, 5 months, they're often tempted to work 12, 14 hours a day, 6 and 7 days a week, in order to get out there and meet all the people that they need to meet to establish a new fellowship. And we try to tell them, no, you've got to take time for fun. You've got to make friends. You've got to establish your spiritual disciplines. But no matter what we say or what their coach might say, many of them ignore that, and they just get on an interstate of planting, and pretty soon they run out of gas, and they're tired, and they call us, and they say, I'm ready to quit. I've often thought when I'm dealing with one of those situations of Elijah after his big encounter and great victory against Jezebel, and then she curses him and says, I'm going to get you, and he runs for miles and miles and miles, and finally settles down and he says to God, "I've been working my heart out for you, God of the angel armies. The people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed the places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." A few years ago, in the middle of the year, I got a phone call from one of our coaches, and he said, "Boy, I'm really worried about," and he filled in the name. And I said, "Why?" He said, "He called me last night, and he said, I'm considering suicide. I just can't do it." And this was a successful plant. "I just can't keep doing it." And so the coach got on the plane, and we pulled out all the stops to give support to this staff worker. And this person is working quite well on staff. They dealt with some of the growth areas that they needed to do. But planting is hard, and it can lead to loneliness and depression. Second, planters often deal with rocky soil kinds of experiences, or what you might call disappointment in people. Students come along in a new student outreach, or at another point, they get interested, they say they're interested, they say they're on board with the plant, they're really going to jump in, they're going to be there, come hell or high water, and all of a sudden, they turn from red hot to disappeared. And the planter sends out emails, they make phone calls, they do the Facebook thing, they try out all the stops, and they can't even find the person or get a response. That can be really devastating, to deal with a disappointment of people when you thought you could depend on someone and this was going to go forward. Or others might deal with what you might call hard-packed soil. Campuses where it's very hard to find missional Christians who are already there on campus. This past year, in a cohort of a year ago, and in two of our Greek planters of this cohort, this past cohort, all three of them are planting Greek chapters, and they just could not find missional Christians in the Greek community on their campuses, one out east, one down south, one up in the northwest. And these three planters went out and met with people. They tried to disciple them. And finally, there was a realization that there just aren't missional Christians that I'm finding on this campus. I'm going to have to go out and change my strategy to be totally involved in evangelism and then disciple the converts so that they become missional Christians. They're not going to come ready-made into this new plant. And frankly, one of those planters dropped out and just said, "I can't do it." And two of them are continuing. And I want to say, these two women are heroes to me. You know, they won't make our pictures, they won't make our brochures in many ways, and yet they're real heroes because they're staying with it, with the Lord. Even though in the hard-packed soil of their campuses, they're just finding it very tough going to even get a little bit of a sprout up and going. And all of this results in the fourth area, which is questioning God's call to planting. When any one of the previous three set in, it can be easy to give up and move on. And over the course of training up more than 70 planters, so far seven have said in the midst of the plant, I just can't keep going, and they have given up. And it always finds itself rooting in, I must have misheard God's call in my life. And of course then their staff directors, their coaches are working hard to say, the problem's not God, the problem isn't you. We need to shepherd you in this process. But that discouragement, I want to say, is very intense. And I don't want to skip it over with us inside InterVarsity to just tell all of the great stories. I have the names, I won't say them today, I have the names of a number of staff who are in this place, five or six staff who are just, they are planting in very difficult soil. And if you would be moved to pray for any of them, just let me know. I'd be happy to give you their names and make a connection. They love prayer in the midst of these four struggles. Each year, we bring the current cohort together. We train them in July, and we bring them together in April at the end of the school year. at Bear Trap Ranch, one of our conference and retreat centers, for 4 days of debriefing and prayer and conversation. And a lot of what we do there, I wish I could take every one of you there, a lot of what we do is just we let the planters tell stories for each other. You know, places they failed, places they saw God do amazing things. And there's just an amazing community that forms as they share their story, because they've all faced some of the same things. They've all faced fear. They've all questioned God's call. They've all dealt with loneliness and depression. And yet they've seen God bring them to the point where they're there in April. They made it through 9 months of planting, 10 months of planting. And we just have a ball together. Everybody says, Lundgren, you just don't lose your smile that whole week. Because it is just, these are my heroes. These are the people I really admire. Many of them have gone from looking like children in many ways in July at Nisset to looking like men and women of God in April when we come together. Here's a story, a couple of stories. Well, the overall numbers are 60 plus chapters are being launched right now. 2,150 students and faculty are active in those fellowships. And since we started planting, 335 students have become Christians. So it's been, you know, it's as hard as it is just really exciting to see the fruit. And I want to finish by sharing some of the fruit of what we've been doing. The first is a story about Chioma. Chioma went last fall to plant at the University of Missouri at St. Louis. It's an interesting school. There's 16,500 students. And only 1,000 live on campus in dorms. So it's mostly a commuter school ministry. It's a four-year school in St. Louis. Chioma is planting the first chapter, to our knowledge, ever in the history of InterVarsity at this school. What's been fun to see in this whole process is the fruit of what God's doing here. These are the students. This is Chioma right here. In the lower, lower right side. These are the students she brought with her a few weeks ago to Catalyst, the Central Region Chapter Camp. She describes the Chapter Camp, the Catalyst Conference, where they finally got to sit down with each other as a chapter. And they discussed and prayed about issues of racial reconciliation and for the first time repented about the way they've neglected it as a fellowship. There are four different ethnic groups represented in this small little group of people who were there at Chapter Camp. They come from four different corners of the campus, so they have the capacity to reach out to four different places together. The Filipino student up here in the top row in the yellow t-shirt said to Chioma during the week, he's not a Christian yet, he said at the end of the week, he said, I really do want to follow Jesus. He has done so many great things. I just need a little more time. It's a big decision, and I need to figure out some things. So Chioma is working with this young man to see him come to know Jesus Christ. This is a whole chapter meeting at Chioma's house. They now have 31 students, and they've seen 6 conversions over the last year. This is a young woman at that campus named Ebony. She became a Christian there at University of Missouri St. Louis this semester. She'll be a sophomore next year, and she just came on campus last fall as the chapter was beginning. As the school started, though, she started doing some things personally in her life that she'd never done before, and she went through a deep period of depression and shame and describes herself as feeling totally unlovable. So as the second semester started, she said, I got to do something that's positive. And so she looked on the University of Missouri St. Louis website and discovered there was an intramural volleyball league that you could join a team. And it happened that the InterVarsity chapter started an intramural volleyball team. And Ebony, without knowing anybody in the chapter, signed up for the volleyball game. and came to the first game and played with everyone. Afterwards, they invited her to McDonald's to talk. Nothing major happened except that she became a kind of a core part of the group. And one of the great things about planting is you walk in, people just love you and are looking to bring you in to the fellowship. So the next day, Chioma saw Ebony on campus in the student center and said, "Can we sit down and talk?" And let me read to you what Chioma writes about their relationship. "I started her asking her what her relationship with God was like, and she couldn't answer for a bit. She finally said she didn't think she had one and thought the things she had done were unforgivable, making her unworthy of God's love. I talked with her about the love of God and his longing for her to be in relationship with him. Then one of my core students shared with her the story of Hosea. At the beginning of the day, I had asked her if she wanted to give her life back to Jesus, and she said no. But at the end of our conversation at the table, I asked her again, and she tearfully said yes. I prayed with and for her, and she prayed a prayer with many tears, asking Jesus to forgive her for the things she had done and asking him for a relationship. Our whole chapter got together that day in the student center to celebrate Ebony and celebrate her new decision and her new faith in Jesus Christ. A few weeks later, Chioma bumped into Ebony's mom and grandma. And it turned out that they had been praying for Ebony fervently. And so they thanked her for the work that God had been doing through the fellowship in Ebony's life. She's now planning to return this fall to plant a cell of ministry on campus with African-American students. Very exciting to see this kind of thing bear out from the sacrifice of our chapter planters. Or quickly, Nathan White at East Carolina. It's also a tough school to plant on. In fact, 3 years ago, the Blue Ridge region shut the chapter down there. It was so weak and so embarrassing that they decided it was better to let it die and to help it die than to have it keep going. And so they shut the chapter down. The campus, though, is a critical campus in North Carolina. There are more than 26,000 students on campus. Many live on or near campus. This is Nathan White, Nathan, the planter, his wife, Michael, and then Joe, the person that I'll be talking about here this morning. Joe writes this report. "I met Nathan at the beginning of the fall semester of my sophomore year. At this point in the year, I was dealing with a lot of doubt and feelings of condemnation, and I began to pull away from people. I started ignoring God and rebelling against him. I was confused about everything and didn't know what to believe. Nathan listened and asked questions. The fact that he cared about me and didn't judge me helped me to trust him as a friend. I started going to IV meetings once in a while, though many times it was very difficult. People were incredibly nice, but my faith was teetering. Somehow I agreed to go to the Chapter Fall Beach Retreat. I wasn't interested in getting, quote, hyped up for Jesus, unquote, like every other retreat. All I wanted was friends who really knew me and I trusted. Incredibly, that was exactly what happened that weekend. We took time to share our life stories with each other, which was incredible and something I wanted and prayed for so long. Through these friends, God has restored my relationship with them. He revealed lies I believed and gave clarity to my misunderstandings about relationship. For the first time in a long time, I feel like I belong somewhere. And that is here." This spring, 48 students ended the year involved with the chapter, and there were two new Christians as a result. That's exciting, isn't it? A year ago, Ebony and Joe came to Missouri and East Carolina and found Chioma and Nathan waiting for them. 2 years ago, there was no IV witness on either campus. Praise God that we together are sending people with beautiful feet to reach new students on new campuses. That is a great privilege, sisters and brothers, that we have. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for each of the planters that you've given us the privilege of investing in, and for each of their coaches who've gone way beyond the call of duty to come alongside each planter in the midst of the challenges of planting. And thank you for the dozens of students who've gotten involved in these fellowships, for the dozens who've come to know you, and for the many like Joe who've recommitted their lives to you. Lord, thank you too for reestablishing in InterVarsity a deep heart and joy in planting new fellowships. Please, Lord Jesus, never let it die. Never let us get cold, either to those who don't know you or to campuses that have very little witness. In your name, amen.